Christianity has so much influence our culture that we take it for granted and think it was always that way.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you move into one of the Mideastern countries where primarily the theology of Islam operates, you can see the influence of what Christianity has had in our culture. Yet, we tend not to really quite to, how shall I say, realize it and appreciate it. And once in a while, we need to be reminded.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for Christianity's positive impact on civilization June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've talked about this several times here on Issues Etc. so far, and still, every time I revisit the story, even though it's only been a couple days, a better part of a week, it's one of those kind of things that it mystifies you, it makes you say, what in the world is going on? And to be honest, it's a little scary to see the speed, the rapidity with which these kind of things happen. So here is Brendan Eich, who was interim CEO of Mozilla for a long time. He's a legend in the browser community, in the online community. He actually founded JavaScript, upon which most websites operate. So he's no small potatoes. He is made CEO of Mozilla, and in less than 2 weeks, he is pressured to resign. Why? $1,000 donation to Prop 8 in California in favor of natural marriage. How does that happen? How does that pressure come to bear? And what is going on? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Greg Kokel joins us to talk about the resignation of Mozilla's CEO for support for California's Prop 8. Greg is a regular guest. He's founder and president of Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California. And he's author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, welcome back.
Todd, I am so glad to talk to you about this issue.
Okay. Brendan Eich did not make his support public. This was just a donation he made.
That's correct. It was the LA Times that made his support public, unfortunately. That bastion of privacy.
He didn't change Mozilla's internal policies. In fact, he said he even supports Mozilla's policy of inclusiveness and tolerance. Why was he pressured to resign?
Well, I can give it to you in a single word. And the word is intolerance. Now, of course, I am using the word intolerance in its classical sense. I am using the word intolerance the appropriate way to identify a vice. Unfortunately, nowadays, the terms tolerance and intolerance in a postmodern, politically correct community have been turned on their heads. So what used to be called tolerance, that is, abiding by and showing respect for points of view that you don't happen to hold but disagree with, but still treat the person with respect, that has become intolerance in the present vernacular. And what is called tolerance now is what used to be called intolerance. That is, you tolerate views that are consistent with your own, and anybody that is not politically correct, you force out of office or out of their position of authority, as Brendan Eich was here. The community, the Mozilla community, thinks they are practicing tolerance, but they are practicing intolerance instead, because the whole definition has gone on its head. I mean, listen to what the Mozilla team has said in their public statement. You've probably seen this. Our organizational culture reflects diversity and inclusiveness. Mozilla supports equality for all. We have employees with a wide diversity of views. Our culture of openness extends to encouraging staff and community to share their beliefs and opinions in public. And then they do this to their CEO. This is the height of Orwellian doublespeak, where their words mean exactly exactly the opposite of the standard meanings of those words. So they can sound wonderful and then wreak moral havoc at the same time. That's what's going on here, Todd.
As far as you can tell, looking at the reactions to it, the reactions have been to applaud Mozilla. The reactions have been, in some cases, to say, just the average person saying, what's going on here? I can really be fired. Well, not fired. I can really be pressured to resign, given little choice, the fact that the board was falling apart at the time.
Yeah.
Because I gave $1,000?
Yes. Well, the simple answer to that is yes, and in a de facto sense, your word "fire" is accurate. I mean, precisely, specifically, literally, he stepped down, but he stepped down under pressure, even after making what amounted to be not exactly an apology, but a vigorous statement of inclusiveness. He calls it inclusiveness at Mozilla. He wrote a whole piece to show how he was on board with their point of view, and then says, I express my sorrow at having caused pain, which is a very charitable way of expressing it, because he didn't cause pain over there. He caused anger over there. People weren't feeling the pain like he's such a brutal man, but rather they were angry at his political stance. And the fact is, yes, nowadays, not just with Brendan Eich, who is maybe one of the most visible victims of this new intolerance, but across the board, people are experiencing it everywhere. In fact, somebody on our staff, I won't mention her name, but she has a friend of hers who is in the same situation, worked for a corporation. They found out that she had given money to Prop 8, and they told her she had to give money to the so-called Human Rights Project, which is a pro-gay enterprise, apparently, to kind of even things out. And she was so frightened for her job that she ponied up and gave the cash. This is the kind of thing that's going on in corporate America, Todd. It is bullying, pure and simple.
So what's the goal here? Is the goal to tell... I'm trying to say, what's the message that the... that's being telegraphed here? Is it, if you are powerful, rich, and able to support causes, you better stay the heck away from things like Prop 8 and stay out of our way?
Yeah, I think that's one way of putting it. Stay out of our way is the part of that I would underscore. These people are powerful, they're aggressive, and they mean business. And if you do not agree with them, and see... I'm choosing my words carefully here. It isn't like if you go after them, if you are nasty to them, if you are hateful and spiteful to them. No, if you don't agree with them, then they will hurt you. And even in Brendan Eich's case is a great example of this, Todd, because here he is in the privacy of his own political life, gave $1,000 to the Prop 8 program here in California, what, 5 or 6 years ago. He gets outed by the LA Times 4 years ago, but it finally trickles down through the Mozilla network just fairly recently, and they are aghast at what they learn. Now, here's something important to keep in mind. Mozilla Executive Chairwoman Mitchell Baker, that's her name. Here's what she said regarding this discovery. She said she had not known about Eich's views on gay marriage throughout most of their working relationship until the donation came up to light last year. Then here's her quote. That was shocking to me because I never saw any kind of behavior or attitude from him that was not in line with Mozilla's values of inclusiveness, close quote. In other words, this man was a model employee with regards to our values. And then here's the subtext. Little did we know that this model employee doing everything consistently with our values was really a bigot in the closet. And then we found out, and that's the end of him. And now we have to apologize to our entire Mozilla community because we didn't know this earlier. See, here's a guy that played by all their rules corporately, but in his private political life, he gave money to the wrong group, and so they forced them out. We mean business? Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. They mean business, and they will hurt in any way possible within their power people who do not hold to their particular party line. This is not good for liberty. It is not good for freedom. It is not good for free speech. It is not good for this country.
Now, I've noticed the Wall Street Journal published a long piece on this, trying to kind of background the story, because the story unfolded so quickly and was mostly a social media phenomenon. So on the 3rd of April, here comes the Wall Street Journal, and they're basically suggesting that the board was already unhappy with Ike for other reasons, and they just grasped at this opportunity to get rid of him.
Well, I mean, that might be. I don't know anything about the corporate background, but it's interesting when someone does the kind of thing that you just described the Wall Street Journal said might be the case. It's because the other reasons are not legitimately actionable, so you got to find something else that sanitizes your firing of the person. That is something that is above board that looks completely legitimate. So what is the thing that they think sanitizes their desire to or their actions of ousting him from audience, from office, if you will? It's this whole thing about same-sex marriage. In other words, it strikes me that it would have been the reverse. That is, if they were mad about him in private for supporting the Prop 8 against same-sex marriage, that then they would have found a legitimate reason for throwing him out that they would have made public because they had this other private reason that was political. But no, they come out publicly with this particular rationale. I actually think that that this is my instinct would be to think that this is the real reason. This is the real reason, because this is consistent with the way the actions of GLAAD and the GLBT community and everybody else that is being bullied by them or who sides with them on these moral issues. These are the kinds of things that are happening all over the place. This isn't out of character for them. So, I mean, my inclination is to think that this is the real reason, and they're not the least bit embarrassed by it.
If I'm a CEO, if I am a paid member of a board of directors of some large profitable corporation, if I'm even kind of beneath that in the vice presidential ranks or the high mid-management ranks, should I be worried that I gave some money to a pro-marriage group and that someone is going to find that out?
There's no question in my mind you should be worried about that. But I mean, look what happens. You have a professional football player come out as a homosexual, come out of the closet. He gets a visit from the first lady or a phone call. You have this magnificent, brilliant contributor to the tech movement, Brendan Eich, who in privacy 5 years ago gives a grand to a politically incorrect political movement, and he gets tossed from being CEO. I think everybody in a position like this ought to worry, but I have something I want to add to that. These people are bullies, and whenever you give in to a bully, it encourages them to bully more. And what's needed at this point is for people to stand up to the bullies, to say no to the bullies, and then to make their case with regards to their convictions regarding same-sex marriage. In other words, not just say, hey, I'm not a bigot, but explain why legalizing same-sex marriage is going to bring trouble to our country, and it's going to just encourage more of the kinds of things that we see with Brendan Eich. We need, especially followers of Christ, to stand up, not be nasty, not be mean, not be in people's faces, but refuse to be bullied. And I want to encourage your listeners, Todd, to go to Matthew chapter 10 and read what Jesus had to say to his disciples as he sent them out on a short-term mission. And he was actually, I think, projecting into the future when he warned them that they're hard on me, they're going to be hard on you because the student is not above the teacher. And then he talks about the difficulty difficulties they'll incur and the conflict they'll confront. And he says three different times, do not fear them. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Now, he's using the point a little differently in each case. I want your listeners to read that. But this is the message for us with regards to these bullies. We need to stand up to them, and we have to take Jesus' advice, do not fear them. Too many Christians, or even non-Christians, I don't know what Brendan Eich's point of view is, but he's a conservative on this issue, are just folding when the pressure comes, instead of standing tall with a straight back and just simply saying no, and then making their case. And folks can go to str.org and other websites that have really worked out some of these kinds of issues so that they can have answers to the challenges that have been offered. But we have to stand up and say no to this. We just have to do it, or else we're encouraging bullies.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon with Greg Kochel, continuing our conversation on the resignation of Mozilla's CEO for his support for California's Prop 8. When we come back, does every public institution have to affirm me? We'll answer that question right after this.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
That first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
The information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case for the historical Jesus June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about the resignation of Mozilla's CEO for his support for California's Prop 8. Greg Kochel of Stand to Reason is our guest, author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, you were before talking about the fact that we're dealing here with just bullies. They're willing to bully anybody, even someone as kind of essential to the technology of the web as Brendan Eich. Does that explain the speed with which these things have progressed? In other words, a bully always, you know, tries to maintain the upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I have seen an increase in the speed. Things started slowly 5-6 years ago, but I think what's happened is when people realize there's a tactic that works, then this is going, it's kind of like a survival of the fittest here, a natural selection. You know, here's the tactic that really survives, and that is bullying. So then as long as it works, let's do more of it. And I think you've seen that pattern really ratcheted up in the last few years, so much so now that even somebody like Brendan Eich is not protected from that. They're going after him like with a passion, and just as to let you know that the bullying word is not overstatement. That word was used by no less of a pro-gay activist as Andrew Sullivan. He wrote a piece, 3rd of April, so just a week or so ago, and not even a week ago, and he says the guy who had the gall to express his First Amendment rights and favor Prop 8 in California by donating $1,000 has just been scalped by some gay activists. He says, Andrew Sullivan now, the whole episode disgusts me, as it should disgust anyone interested in a tolerant and diverse society. If this is the gay rights movement today, hounding our opponents with a fanaticism more like the religious right than anyone else, then count me out. If we're about, intimidating the free speech of others, we are no better than the anti-gay bullies, there's our word, who came before us. So even Andrew Sullivan, I mean, the perennial pro-gay activist, and, you know, he's everywhere when these things come up, generally speaking, he's sickened by this kind of response. And so it's kind of nice to see, even from the other side, you get some sane response about this. This is bullying, pure and simple.
Marla is listening in Massachusetts. Hi, Marla.
Hi, how are you today, Todd?
Very well.
I was looking up the word bigot as I'm listening to this, and because that man from Mozilla gave money to support something that he believed in, he's not a bigot. And it's really making me angry, because here's the definition for bigot, which really fits them, the pro-gay. The state of mind of a bigot, someone who, as a result of their prejudices, treats or views other people with fear, distrust, or hatred. Hatred. Now, here's another one. Stubborn and complete intolerance of any creed, belief, or opinion. Or you could add sexual orientation, I guess, into this one, because this is an older version.
Well, like opinion or belief would still cover sexual orientation. Marla, you're doing a great job doing something that most people don't do. That is, you're asking the question, what do you mean by that, when somebody raises the issue, calling someone on the more conservative side of this question a bigot? What do you mean by bigot? Because once you flush the definition out into the open, as you so marvelously have done for us, it becomes clear that Brendan Eich is not a bigot by that definition, but rather the people at Mozilla and all of those forcing him out of his job, they're the ones that are acting in a way consistent with the definition of bigotry. But see, this is part of the Orwellian doublespeak. They have co-opted the word bigot for their own side, and so what's the definition of a bigot? It's anybody who disagrees with us on this issue. And so they've been able to use that, and then people like Brendan Eich has got to fall over himself, apologizing and saying, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, and trying to prove he's not a bigot when nobody has demonstrated he was a bigot to begin with. That definition is really handy, and I hope you keep that at your fingertips, Marla, and others do as well, when this word is bandied about to describe those who are in favor of something like Prop 8 in California.
Two quick final questions. Is this an example of kind of the expectation on the part of the gay activists that every institution, government, even business, even executives, have to personally affirm you?
Well, I think this is part of the psychological profile that's going on in the homosexual community. Many years ago, when this point came up, some homosexual person writing in said, why can't we just have the courage of our convictions and stand by them instead of forcing everybody to smile, you know, and nod in approval every time we say something about our point of view? Apparently, they don't. And I think part of the reason that homosexuals are so utterly thin-skinned on this, that they have to force approval at every level of society, is that deep down inside, they know that there is something amiss with their behavior. That's my own judgment here, but your identification of the problem that they seem to demand approval at every stage, I think, is right on the money.
Finally, then, is what happened to Brendan Eich an example, a genuine example of bullying? And if so, why and how should we stand up to the bullying by gay rights activists? About a minute.
Yeah, I think it is a genuine example, because the man did nothing wrong. He offered a point of view that some people don't like. Okay, fair enough. But genuine tolerance, that is the true classical virtue, means that we say, okay, I disagree with you for these reasons, but I'm going to still treat you with respect. We don't drum them summarily out of business. Drumming them out of business is an act of bullying, and the more that people give into that and say, oh, I'm sorry, the more you encourage the bullies.
Greg Kokel is founder and president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You can find out more about this book and Stand to Reason at our website, issuesetc.org. Greg, thank you.
Todd, thanks for giving me a chance to offer my thoughts. I appreciate it.
Folks, if you like the conversation we've had here with Greg and the many conversations we have of this nature about the kind of the postmodern twisting of words and redefining of everything, you will love the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference coming Friday, June the 13th and Saturday, June the 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. We have more than 100 people registered so far. Still plenty of room and plenty of time for you to register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. You could do so online at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Making the Case logo, or you can call Craig right here and ask him about the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Issues, Etc. regular guests, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Dr. Stephen Hine, Dr. Angus Manoj, and Craig Parton will be speaking at the summer study sessions of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th in Strasbourg, France. For more information, visit apologeticsacademy.eu. The International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th, apologeticsacademy.eu.